Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
You don't indeed. It is 8:14. I'm Howard Feldman. A very good morning to you. We've spoken quite extensively about the Lindiwe Sisulu articles, her response, the president's response. And once again, as South Africans, we seem to find ourselves wondering what on earth is really going on behind the scenes at the ANC's NEC. Is the president the ultimate Hamlet, where he has the best of intentions? He is the prince, or was the prince. We were all on his side, but by procrastinating, ultimately everybody dies on a stage. Joining me this morning is Adrian Basson. He is the editor-in-chief at News 24. He wrote a very interesting article, Analysis Paralysis: Why Hasn't Ramaphosa Fired Sisulu? Adrian, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Hi, Howard. Good to speak to you.
Nice to chat to you. So what is going on here? Do you think that the president doesn't recognize the real power that he has and the support base that he has outside of the ANC?
I think that lies at the bottom of much of what we are frustrated with when we think the president should be acting more harshly. I mean, we've all heard about his so-called slow or long game approach to matters of importance. I think he's extremely calculated in every move, and he's always thinking about his own political power before he makes a move. And I mean, in the beginning days, Howard, after Nasrec, one could have understood that, because he didn't have the overwhelming support of the NEC. And as we know, the power lies in the ANC NEC. So, you know, he has to think of his every move. But, you know, in the past, 4 years, he has really consolidated power. I mean, Ace Magashule is completely out in the woods on trial for corruption. Jacob Zuma was in prison, out of prison again. The REC faction, I would argue, is not as strong by any stretch of the imagination as it was in 2017. So he should be moving at a much faster speed. He should be acting much more bold. And yeah, that was really what frustrated me about his inaction on this matter so far.
I mean, when we think back to the times where a former president, Jacob Zuma, would be calling these meetings late at night, he'll be firing and hiring ministers. It was as though nothing mattered to him. Here we've got a very clear case of a minister from most perspectives openly trying to defy the president, attack the judiciary, and yet even in a case like this he seems to do nothing.
Yeah, look, I mean, no reason to want Zuma back or think that, you know, the reason he fired his ministers was to get his friends into Treasury.
Absolutely.
Look, we don't want a president who fires people willy-nilly.
No, of course not. I'm not suggesting that. I think in
any organization, you need some kind of stability. But, you know, Cyril Ramaphosa comes from that ANC house, you know, that broad church that has royalty, and people like the Sisulus are obviously massive, massive figures in the ANC. And, you know, he's probably thinking he can't just take away Lindiwe Sisulu's perks and, you know, ministerial position and VIP treatment overnight. But he should. Of course, he should do it. You know, she's not only undermined the constitution and spew hatred at black judges. I mean, there wasn't criticism, that piece of rubbish that she wrote.
No, it wasn't criticism.
It was pure hatred and uninformed hatred and defamation. But then she also said the president lied. You know, I haven't seen this in my career, where a minister issues a statement 20 minutes after the president under his name to say, well, you're actually lying. I didn't apologize. I didn't retract anything, and you are misrepresenting what happened. I mean, that is a clear attack on his authority. But you know, Cyril Ramaphosa is probably making the sums on the back of her. I don't know, he doesn't smoke, so not a cigarette box or something like that. And he's probably thinking, you know, if I fire her, she's out there, she can campaign, she's got more time to campaign on the road to December. She can galvanize support around being a victim like that Jacob Zuma did. Rather keep her busy with tourism, you know, with a small budget and keep an eye on her in cabinet meetings. That's probably thinking, if I have to guess.
Doesn't not acting give the RET or give her a lot more credibility, because the perception created is that he's not confident enough to fire her.
I think there is a real cost to not acting. I think you're right. I think it shows that it could show that he's scared of her and or her supporting group, the RET group, that he's scared to act against them. On the long run, I think we have a huge impunity problem in South Africa that you have also written about. I think that for me is the biggest danger in the long run. It's just another case of impunity. Someone getting away without accountability, doing what they want to. And I mean, we've unfortunately seen that permeating our society for the past decade. It's where people just get away with doing the wrong thing, saying the wrong thing, attacking the constitution, stealing money, plundering the state. Making false claims in public, you'll just get away with it. You'll be okay. You know, there's no consequences. And I think for me, that is the biggest danger in the long run, is that it just further strengthens this horrible culture of impunity without consequence, that's been coming from the ruling elite for the past decade.
Well, one of the dangers in any situation like this, and we all can fall victim to it, and I'm really not suggesting that it only falls within the ruling party, is that we all become victims of our own echo chambers. Do you think that there's a chance that the ANC is a victim of its own echo chamber and doesn't actually see how disconnected and how out of step they are with the country?
I think so. I think, I think there may be, there could be a case to make for not a lot of things, but I think in this case, I for no moment doubt that Ramaphosa is aware of the outcry, the public outcry about what Sisulu has said. You know, but Carol Payton, who now works on News 24, wrote quite a sobering piece, I thought, 2 weeks ago when she spoke specifically about Gwede Mantashe and his comments on Lindiwe Sisulu and green energy and whatever. And you know, she was writing that he's probably much more representative of the general ANC view on life, you know, which is very much, you know, the West is against us and, you know, the liberals are not going to uplift our people and the constitution may be a bit too progressive, you know. And I think there's different ANCs. You know, Cyril Ramaphosa represents certainly a certain kind of ANC, which is aligned to the constitution, to a free market economy, etc. But there's also other strong views in the ANC. Gwede Mantashe was one of the first people to say that Sisulu, didn't do anything wrong, and she spoke in a personal view or something like that, and you know, steps shouldn't be taken against her. I mean, he of course is one of the very first ANC politicians who criticized the constitutional court, just before Jacob Zuma was elected in Polokwane. He was very critical of the constitutional court, calling them counter-revolutionary after they went after John Thorpe. There's a long tradition of accusing the court and the judges and blaming the constitution and constitutional court for the ANC's own failures of not delivering services for the past, almost 30 years.
Yeah, it's absolutely remarkable, because when Ramaphosa took the position, I thought that the public response and the support, and that's why I always refer to this Hamlet thing, because we really, really were behind the prince and we wanted him to succeed, but there's such... And I still believe, by the way, that he could just as easily become the hero again. It's not difficult, because South Africans, we love a good hero. We're desperate for one, and he's in the position to be one. But somehow, he's just not standing up and taking the position.
I think what I tried to do in the column as well was just to remind people again of the good things he's done.
Yes, I thought that was excellent. Because
we can easily forget where we were 100%. In December 2017, you know, when Sean Abrams was the head of the NPA, Tomo Yani was head of SARS. I mean, it was dire days. I mean, the Guptas were still running around amok. So, you know, one has to give Ramaphosa credit for some of the things he's done. Could he have done more? Absolutely. Should he have done more? I think so. Does he underestimate his public and political support? I think so. I think he's in a position to act more bold. And with the realignment of our politics, as we've seen in the last the local government elections last year, where the ANC is fast losing their 50% majority, this is going to cost him at the ballot box. Because, you know, why will people continue to vote for the ANC if they see a weak president, if they see someone who's not willing to make the hard decisions? So I think this all fits into some of the decisions he and the party must make on the road to 2024.
Yeah, it's actually so interesting, and possibly one of the next column for me is why he doesn't recognize the power that he has.
Yeah.
Adrian Basson, thank you as always for chatting to us and for a very, very thought-provoking article and for those columns.